Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
Ah, we tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. You can swing by and visit them Tuesday through Saturday with... And they have great live music happening on Thursday, July 26th, The Other Sun. Friday, July 27th, Bottoms Up Blues Gang. And Saturday, July 28th, Alligator Wine with their Grateful Dead tribute. You can find all these events and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I will be back out at Naked Vine on August 14th for my singer-songwriter storytelling show with Anna Shanoff, Bobby Stevens, and Matt Wynn. So keep an eye out for that event coming up soon. Again, everything nakedvine.net. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
It's important for you.
Hello, we are Backwash. Welcome to the Rock Paper Podcast.
It's Neil. I was wondering, could I come by for a minute? Cool. I know the code. Okay, thanks.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out at Gaslight Studios.
What's up?
With the guys of Backwash.
Hey now!
Hey yo!
Neil's here, we're all in now.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Oh, is Zach not coming?
It's jingle jangle.
Gibbons can't make this one?
Hey. Gibby can't make this one.
Okay. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Looks right like we're time. About 30 seconds in.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Welcome.
Right on
what,
time.
What great time.
I got to smoke that.
Yeah, right here.
You know that's not legal.
What's going on?
You guys want to properly introduce yourselves for everybody?
Sure. I'm Matt. I play guitar.
I'm Neil. I'm not sure what I play in this band. Could be keyboards, maybe. Could be guitar. Could be bass for a Strokes show. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, I'm in the band, I think.
We for now, Tom Blood was playing bass.
Oh, okay. That's great. Cool. Well, so, yeah, I play guitar sometimes in Backwash, and I also am going to start playing the Wurlitzer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am Brandon. Hello. I sing the songs and I play the bass. Yes.
Right on, man. Yeah, this is very exciting. I'm glad this finally worked out. It's kind
of
something we've been...
It's been about a year of trying to schedule it. Yeah. We're here now. We made it.
Right. You, like I said, Gibby's also with us, but he's on the road out there doing his thing.
Right. Our other guy's on tour with Brotherly and Leather Jackals right now. I think they're in... They were in Indiana last night. I think they're in Nashville tonight. Yeah. I could be wrong about that, but yeah. they're on tour right now, so we're missing a guy.
Yeah. But we got a record to talk about. We got a new record to talk about. We got the big show coming up. You guys are part of this year's an Undercover Weekend over at Del Mar Hall.
That's right.
Let's talk about that. We'll start there, I guess. This is going on. You guys play August 25th.
August 25th, yes.
Yeah. That's a Sunday, right?
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday
night, August 25th, Del Mar Hall. We're doing... we're part of Undercover Weekend, which is the...
It's Saturday? I thought it was Sunday. I swear I thought it was
August
Sunday.
25th is a Saturday.
Okay. Right. This year. We figured that this out right year. Now on the well, yeah. on air.
The logistics have been covered.
So I'm correct. So I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a full-on... it's Undercover Weekend, so it's just St. Louis bands doing tributes to other bands, and we're doing the Strokes this year. And we were pumped about it. It's going to be fun.
I think they've got it sectioned off to where it's 80s for the first night,
yeah.
90s bands for the second night,
Friday.
And then 2000s groups. So we're Saturday. On the third night, Saturday. Yeah, so should be cool. We've seen some of the stuff get rolled out. Like, I saw someone's doing Usher. I saw someone's doing...
B-52s.
There's some great stuff.
Arctic Monkeys is the same night as us.
Nice, yeah. Arctic Monkeys, that'll be cool. Good rock show.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
I saw Matthias and the Pirates are doing De La Soul.
Oh, man, I'm pumped for that. That's obviously going to be in the 80s night. Or 90s. Is that 90s? Yeah.
I think, me, myself, and I came out, 89. I think the rest of...
Look at this guy. De La Soul fans, dude.
Sam Presley dropping some.
I love that hip hop knowledge. You got a lot of that up in the brain?
I mean, that's about all that's up there is.
The De La Soul first single came out in 1989.
You hit me right where I need to.
That's the sweet spot. Yeah.
But no, that's going to be a great event. I know Mike Tomko does a great job setting all that up, and we had a great time talking last year about all that. Like, it was kind of how the process of all that goes on. And
With him?
Yeah. So it was cool to get a kind of a little insight of all that. And
yeah, it's intense. I mean, the venues are just getting bigger too. So
I'd like to say too that I've done this for 3 years. So 3 years ago, Old Souls Revival did the Hives. Last year, I performed with the Daisyad doing the Gorillaz, and then this year I'll do the Strokes. And one thing I've just noticed up this year, even different than last year, is there's just not been a lot of the groups sharing the information. Like, we need to all come together, and whoever's listening to us, to share that event information and let people know, because there is a following that is going to come with the Undercover Weekend, but we still shouldn't forget that we need to get new blood in there and stuff like that. So I'm just worried because I haven't seen a ton of, I don't know the bands. I don't know who. What I just mentioned was all I know about it. So, yeah, hopefully it's good and well attended, because Mike does put a lot of work into this. You know what I mean? So,
what's kind of cool too is, it's a great opportunity for, somebody that's, maybe a little more unknown to a national, to the whole St. Louis, they can come on and they can do a set and they can just rock it and really grab everybody's attention, and it's and I felt like that's happened in the past a couple times, where there's some people come on there and really just blow your mind with their set, and you're like, man, wow.
I'll buy a CD of the original.
I need to take notice of what they're doing, because this is incredible. So
totally.
So, hopefully that's the case again this year, with some of those sets. And like I said, there's going to be a bunch of great tunes going on over Del Mar Hall that weekend. And you can grab some tickets up today. They're available at the box office and I think Ticketmaster and all that.
Me and Brandon's old college English teacher just bought 3 tickets for the
from Chicago?
From Southern Illinois.
Oh, Carbondale.
She's made a post on Facebook that said, I just bought 3 tickets to go see Backwash play as the Strokes, and I saw it, and I was just like, man, it's fucking wild.
We got a lot to live up to here.
Super excited.
She's awesome, man.
Yeah. Cool. That's great.
Can I ask what you guys, was it the Strokes of the original?
Funny you should ask. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was the second choice, but we are pretty stoked about it. At first, we were kind of the other thing that we had decided on didn't pan out.
So let me just elaborate on what Matt's trying to get at here. We had been really stoked to do the B-52s ourselves.
Right.
So we, too, submitted the B-52s. But what I would guess happened was that they needed a slot filled in the 90s, or excuse me, in the 2000 section, and they had plenty.
I feel like the fact that we offered to do as our second choice of Strokes, that they were like, we want that. And which, understandable, if anybody was offering that, it would be like, somebody needs to do this.
Sure, sure. But, you know, Poly Shades.
Yeah, badass.
Pono,
yeah.
Sister Wizard, yeah. And even Mother Stutter. They're doing B-52s, yeah. Which is kind of ironic that, you know, we all know each
other. They're all friends of ours.
Yeah, they're all friends of ours, so they picked the same.
And
they didn't even know.
They didn't even know. They started releasing stuff. And
it'd be funny if their second band was the Strokes, too, that they picked. Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it happened, but it's kind of cool because as we've went through and looked at, like, what we're up against as far as, like, the tunes and the guitar parts and all, and just the arrangements and everything and, like, the vocal, that it kind of feels like it's going to go really well. So,
yeah.
So we're excited for sure.
Listening to the music, which I've been doing in preparation for this, because I don't know the Strokes' music. I know, like, the popular song or whatever. But it makes sense for Backwash.
Yeah,
it fits. The band, you know, the ensemble, the arrangement, you know, and even the, like, guitar tones and stuff.
Right.
It makes sense.
Multi-guitar, intricate, you know.
What have you thought when you started to get into this?
I'm happy about it. That it's cool. That's interesting songwriting, you know. At first I was sort of just like, oh, it's bland, same old bullshit. And it is. To a degree,
yeah,
I think.
Sure. Well, they paved the way in that regard.
They are really doing some interesting stuff. It's cool.
For, like, whatever Coldplay did to their sound and that thing that then propelled into mainstream culture, the Strokes kind of did the same thing where they invented their own wheel and they don't reinvent
that. I feel like you hear
that.
Like, even as the Arctic Monkeys were prior to them, but you hear the Arctic Monkeys taking so much from what the Strokes' big hits are. We're like, oh, we're going to write this tune that's just this guitar riff that has this edgy tone.
Absolutely.
You know, and has this hip vocal that, like, it just reminds me a lot of that, where a lot of the modern rock and roll that I enjoy, that's not, you know, bullshit Imagine Dragons stuff, it's like, you know, it's in that vein of the Strokes that kind of paved the way for it to be okay to be a mainstream rock band but still make the guitar parts interesting, the vocals deep and nice. And
I've recently actually, there's a book that just came out called Meet Me in the Bathroom, and it's an oral retelling of basically rock and roll in New York from, like, 2000 to 2011, and it's really cool. It's really cool to see how it all...
Yeah, and that's the thing about the Strokes is that we don't need to dive too hard into this being a Strokes podcast all of a sudden.
Sure.
But they almost tried, they did their best to, like, revive rock and roll. Like, the rock and roll's dead, you know, and they were just kind of like, we're a fucking rock band, and everybody loved their songs, and it was kind of like, well, we're not going to stop being a rock band, so it was kind of like, well, is rock and roll back or not, you know? This weird thing.
There's a weird dynamic, too, in New York at this time where it's like Interpol.
And then it's
the Strokes. Like, and so it's like these two really interesting versions of music are coming out and trying to be New York. And then, you know, I don't know, the rest is history or whatever, as they say.
Yeah. So we're going to rock the fuck out of that.
Basically.
That sounds like a really good time. Again, tickets available. Grab those today. Come on out and party with these guys and sing along. I didn't mention you guys, this is your first appearance on the show. So you guys did put out a record in 2017 called Sonic Chronic, that is available on all your digital platforms and Spotify, iTunes, and all that, Bandcamp and everything, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about how we got to that record. Like I said, this is I would like to get a little bit of the backstory on how Backwash came to be, how you guys decided to put together a surf rock band in St. Louis and stuff.
The beginning of it was I lived with our now drummer who plays guitar on the first record. We lived together and we just kind of, we liked the same music and we were talking about kind of starting a band in the vein of what we like, which is kind of growlers, fiddler area of like surf skate punk stuff and then shit that's like kind of more modern pop rock like the growlers or like just in that vein of kind of darker pop rock. And we on the 4th of July 2 years ago me and Zach got hammered drunk and we were like, let's write some songs. And so we wrote three songs, which ended up being on the first record. The first record's like, I think, eight songs, and three of those songs were written that night that we conceived the band. And
that's crazy.
Me and Zach were working through it, and we said, who do we want to sing this? We need a bass player. And I said, I think Brandon would be great to do all of this stuff and would be a great addition. And so we gave him a call the next morning, hungover as fuck, with our demos that we had. And he came by, and we just kind of took off, and it happened really quickly. We had a full set within like 2 weeks. You know, we just kind of, the first record was conceived very quickly, and we recorded here at Gaslight. I think with the entire record is 6 hours of work. We recorded the entire thing within 2 hours, live tracked everything. Did a little bit of overdubbing, and that was about it. And then we were kind of on our way there.
Yeah.
And I've been a part of a lot of projects that have done that similar concept, and this was one that it panned out better than, you know, than they have in the past. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of the mantra from the very beginning of Backwash, and what seemed to me to be the reason that we started writing the way we did, it's kind of like we didn't want anything to be too cumbersome, you know, to be like too much for us to handle, you know, in a live setting, you know, especially when you're playing places like Foam and shit like that,
yeah,
where you're not exactly having like a sound guy. So we're like, let's just like simplify this as much as possible, you know, and really take simple things and make them sound great, you know, stuff that's like well within our abilities, you know, as players.
Yeah, it taught us a lot about like ranging and kind of like how to, you know, when you have two guitar players in a band, it can get really messy and really heavy really quickly.
Oh, totally.
And it was about thinning out everything, you know, and coming up with that idea of how do you do that, and how does this song, which might have been written on the acoustic guitar originally, how does that break down into two guitar parts? And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was a lot of fun breaking that first album down into like how do we make this simple but cut through and, you know, and sound great.
Simple without being bland.
Yeah.
You know, simple without being boring. I mean, it's not always the easiest, you know.
It's a shame you guys couldn't get it figured out on
that. Right, right. So that record really sucks.
Yeah. Next one. I feel like we hit it sometimes.
I'm just joking. I enjoyed it. I was really happy when I started really diving
record,
in.
Neil, who is speaking right now, was not in the band at the first.
Yeah, I was not
record,
in the band, so. Yeah. But it was a real treat getting to listen to the songs and learn them and, like, have all this good material already ready and go, hey, just learn this great stuff. Yeah, it was cool. They're good songs, man, too, and you almost don't know it until you really give it a good listen, because it's just on the surface level fun, you know, like right, vibes right, or whatever, but like it's a little more than that, which is also cool.
You know, it's interesting, because we were talking about like Blink-182 earlier before we went into this, and Interpol or whatever, what were you guys saying?
The Strokes?
Alkaline Trio.
Alkaline Trio.
Which is like, I feel like there's, when you get older, you know, you kind of shun the music that you listen to when you're like a teenager or whatever. But whether you like it or not, I feel like that's
like
part,
guilty
of your,
pleasure.
Part of your core, you know?
Right. Totally.
Part of the core of what you started making music with.
Right.
Playing these like Blink-182 songs or whatever, Green Day songs.
And obviously they resonated with you at a certain
right,
time in your life.
Yeah.
So you to forget that's a mistake. I agree
yeah,
with you, yeah.
And that's part of Backwash, was just like, you know what, we already know how to sort of pull this sound off a little bit. Let's incorporate it, you know, let's not run away from it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, it's like what inspired me to start playing guitar or pick up a guitar in the first place was bands like NoFX. And when I started like wanting to learn those guitar parts, the realization was I play in a lot of bands and I wasn't really doing what it was that got me into playing in the first place. And it became Backwash, almost some of the shows we've recently played have become this kind of realization of like inspiring, where I'm like, okay, we're inspiring people that are younger to like want to do this, to want to, you know, to be like interested in playing guitar or writing songs or doing these things that are like, you know, where yeah, you move on, you get more mature, you listen to different music, you definitely leave your roots of what the reason that you start playing music or that you start liking to sing or play guitar or whatever. But it becomes this thing where it's like, hey, if you can give back to that community that's like, I always want people to want to learn and want to play. We need people to pick up and, you know, and want to do it, because after we're gone, you know, we need more people to want to continue these things.
Sure.
And so it's cool to be a part of something that's like, we're trying to just inspire more people to want to get out and play and bring and continue what we're doing.
I think Brandon makes a really good point, though, there, which is like, throughout my musical career, I've never gave a damn to want to appeal to kids because I looked down on that. Do you know what I'm saying? I thought kids wouldn't really resonate with real substance in quotes. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm just being condescending in my older age now. When in fact, that's a terrible approach. You know what I mean? Like, but there's something really special to what your point there, Brandon. I've never really thought about that. Like finding the silver lining in nostalgia, not just being for nostalgia's sake or for, you know what I mean?
I've done it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, man. So let's, you guys did a video for Sunshine, and that's one of the singles you guys released off that record. Let's talk about this tune. Anything come to mind about Sunshine?
The tune was written off of a guitar part that I wrote that was just a catchy melody riff that I kind of came up with in my own apartment, just sitting there working on tunes, and then I brought it to the band, and Brandon has always been really great about helping us flesh out tunes, and like I'll always bring a guitar part to him and be like, hey, man, this is a small idea that I have here, but I think it could be something great. And I brought him Sunshine, the guitar riff, and a couple different ideas, and he really kind of opened that up, and Zach was obviously a great help in that. So we collaborated on that tune in particular, but yeah, I had written the guitar riff and just brought it to them, and they really opened it up, which is super cool.
As if the Strokes were playing like Hawaiian music.
Right. It is. It is very. Right. It's very, very separated. Yeah. The way that we look at a lot.
More
of
like more. more access to the ocean, but still in the Strokes area, you know what I'm saying? Or something like that,
It is definitely a tune where we've seen like the ability to go one guitar part two, and be able to go find that other guitar part that belongs there. While the first guitar part's super active, it's one thing to just strum the chords along with it. It's another thing to find a cool groove. And Zach did this thing where he was going and it just became this thing where I was playing this really choppy high end riff, and he's playing this low end thing. He's very good about sonically hearing what's not there. And that tune with the groove, at least, that really helped a lot. I'm sure Brandon would love to elaborate with the lyrical content of Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. It just, the best lyrics, you know, come without thinking too hard, at least for me. And it was basically just naming stuff that was around at the time and stuff that I was doing. And the lyrics are what we got. Sunshine. Well, that's obvious. That's everywhere. That's wonderful.
We definitely got that.
We have that here.
We definitely got that.
Yeah, and the melodies of the song, they practically just scream sunshine somehow. And then we got Mountain Dew. Well,
that's the mango fruit.
Yeah, well, that's me. That's my contribution, because I was eating a lot of mangoes at the time. Not gonna lie, I know it was dark. Moment for me.
Now that you say that, I have to ask you. Then one of the lyrics is, "We got the disco tunes."
Yeah.
Were you listening to a lot of disco at this point?
I actually was not.
Okay, I didn't think you were. I didn't think you were.
Can I make an admission here? I just always thought the mango fruit was like a strain of weed. You know what I'm saying?
Ironically, for all the weed references we have, I don't think
that's
Sunshine,
not one of them.
I don't think Sunshine's an actual mango. We have songs written about smoking weed, but I don't think that
that's my
Sunshine is one of them.
Oh yeah, it's a vape flavor. Yeah. Mango fruit. Vape. Dude, that's an idea. Backwash can start selling our own vape flavors.
Kind of cool. Capsules.
Yeah. This is people. This is the things that we need right now. We don't need more songs. What we need
branding,
marketing,
merch.
And branding ideas. When we did that song, I met with James Jackson, who has done 3 of our videos, who's like a close friend of all of us. We love him. He's done great work for us. Honestly, he's basically a member of the band at this point for how much work he's done for us and what he's done. He came with me and him got together one night, and we were like talking about the song, and I was like, I really like the song. I think it's one of the better, stronger tunes on the album. I'd love to make a music video for it. And we had this whole discussion about what should the music video be, you know, what do we want to do. And my concept was trying to compact everything into a small space as much as possible. And I was like, can we just buy a bunch of shit from the dollar store, beach shit, and just shove it in a car? And when we first started filming the video, we realized, well, this kind of blocks out all the sun, so how are we supposed to shoot a video when it's like dark? And then we're going to go from that to the sunlight being outside. And it was a wild challenge, but I definitely think James pulled it off. Like, I mean, the first video we did for Surfboard Prom Day is a green screen video, and it's super wild. But the second one for Sunshine was no effects at all, other than just some post stuff. So it was cool working with James and kind of like...
That's the one where you kind of wake up and you're hungover or whatever, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Wearing the exact shirt he's wearing.
Nice.
Haven't took it off yet.
If we want to get into the shirt exchange game right now, we can. The one thing about Backwash that everybody needs to know is when we're up there playing a show, nobody is wearing their own shirt, nor did they purchase their shirt. Chances are they came from somebody else in the band.
Yeah, or somebody else. Up of the shirts, because it's cool, like, seeing somebody else wear a shirt that I've been wearing for like 2 months.
Yeah, a lot of times we roll up to a show and somebody doesn't have a Hawaiian, but somebody's got a trunk full of Hawaiian shirts. It's become a sort of a disease almost, where you open your trunk and you're like, especially if you're at work and you have a normal job, and you open your trunk and you're like, all right, maybe my boss just saw the amount of fucking Hawaiian shirts and inflatable shit and like pool noodles that are flying out of the backseat. I have a fucking, I got a goddamn boogie board that says surf on it in the backseat of my car for the last year. That's just sitting there, you know.
I have some very obscure things in the back of my car too. I have a like Halloween mask still in there and stuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, it's just funny. Like
Michael Myers Halloween? Like,
Shane, that might, yeah. Shane, I don't know. Yeah,
it
might
be.
I
mean, like,
it's just, yeah, I was just going to say, Shane, we got Hawaiian shirts. Yeah, that's a little more innocent than the Halloween mask.
I'm just saying, if you opened it up and you started looking at the random objects in the back of my car, like, it's like, what the hell is going on in here? Like, this is a strange collection.
Sounds
of things.
Like we need to go out to your car. Hey,
before you go, just to double check.
You got weed in that Halloween mask?
Yeah, what's going on there?
You know, serial killers, they always want you to know that they did it.
They drop little clues the whole time.
Like tell it on a podcast or something.
This is it. Well, Shane, on your 575th podcast, we heard you talking about
Mark. 23 minutes and 34 seconds.
Hey, what podcast number is this?
420. Don't ask any more questions.
420, baby.
Just release it as the 420 podcast. For real. All the listeners that have made it this far, you guys get it.
Sorry to whoever was 420. We are now officially episode 420.
Have you made? You've definitely been. You are 420. You're past that.
He's been that high, bro.
I was gonna say,
you know what I'm saying,
right?
Been that high, you know.
If you could see Neil's face right now, you would get it. There's no video of this.
We did mention that you guys are gearing up for a new record, and Neil playing some keys, going forth into some new sounds that you guys are doing. So let's talk about this. I guess we're expecting, is that something this year or?
Yeah, it'll be for, God damn it, better be before 2018 ends. But so I'm going to take this one.
You said 420 again.
Well, the new record. We just wanted to take it into a more ambitious direction, I feel like, but still keep that that simple songwriting chord. And I know I was kind of wanting to stretch my wings out a little bit as far as the sound goes. And I felt like there was some more like jazzy influence we could get in there with different chord voicings and maybe go for like a more complex sound. While at the same time making just a ton of shitty pop songs. Hey. So the new record is like a bunch of short, it's a bunch of short ideas, you know, but sort of fleshed out all the way. I think that's sort of the idea of it. It's like, if you've got an idea, it's like, even if it's simple, let's get it done to completion, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's sort of like a simple idea, as long as it's a little bit different, I feel like.
Yeah, I think our biggest thing with the new record was trying to experiment within sounds of stuff we like. So, going with, if we want to write a song that is in the vein of Mac DeMarco, or in the vein of King Gizzard, in the vein of Twin Peaks, or whatever, that we could just do that, and we can see what we sound like in there, and we can kind of cut our chops on that idea. So, what's cool about the new record is it's very all over the place in the way that it might start out with a really heavy punk tune, and then the next song might be a kind of flourishy, chorused out pop tune. And that there was no boundaries of what we could or couldn't do. We sound like what we sound like. We are the people that make the music. I mean, you know, we're not changing the genre in a sense, but we're just kind of trying to stretch the boundaries of what we've already done and see what we could or couldn't do and test that in the studio. So at this point right now, we're at a 15-song record where some of it, you know, we've had the challenges of looking at each other and going, does this belong on the record? Does this not belong on the record? In the end, what does or doesn't belong on the record, or does it? Should we detach ourselves from that and let it go and just let it rip and, you know, let the songs be the songs and stop worrying about it? And that's kind of what's happening, is we're caring less about worrying about catering to any sound and just kind of writing tunes. And
there's been more like collaborative, like Brandon wrote a few of these songs on this record specifically, right?
Yeah,
versus like the last one.
Yeah,
it was more you.
But it's very similar, I think, give and take as far as like the first record, me and Zach wrote a lot of the stuff because we can see the band together,
right.
So the two guitar players kind of wrote a lot of the tunes. We didn't really write a lot of the vocal stuff, so Brandon kind of took care of, like, this is where I think the vocals sit, and then we would rearrange tunes or rewrite stuff to fit that.
Right.
This record has a little bit more of, like, tunes that almost, I mean, honestly, were fully written by one member of the band that brought it and was like,
yeah,
hey, here's the concept, and it's on an acoustic guitar, and going, this is what we have here. Can we make this exist in the realm in which Backwash is? And
right.
Then that kind of has come to a point of a lot of collaboration with the band going, you know, I would bring a tune personally and go, hey, this is my song, but I know it's missing the guitar hook. I know it's missing this or that. And then, you know, the best thing about this band, I think, personally for me, is that everybody picks up their weight 100%. It's like, I'm missing the guitar hook. And the other guitar player, Zach, is just like, oh, I know what that hook is going to be. Or I'm like, Brandon, I don't know what the vocal melody is here, but it belongs to this moment. And Brandon will sit there for 2 seconds and fucking have this great idea. So it's cool. This band, it moves fast. There's a reason that the next record is 15 songs, and we released a record last year. You know, it's moving very quickly. And our biggest, I think, motto of the band is to just stop giving a shit about, like, every song being some big proclamation to something, and just kind of write music and hoping people have fun with it. We want you to blast our music while you're fucking shotgunning beers in your front lawn with your shirt off. You know?
Hey.
We don't give a fuck about you sitting in your car thinking in-depthly about their content.
In between Kid Rock songs.
Right. In between fucking Ball with the Ball and I'm a Cowboy, you need to blast
Surf's Up,
our
cool
hit off of our new
Reed Steve.
We have as much integrity.
You need to blast the new 2018 summer song, Reed Steve.
Hashtag, which will be out in 2020.
Which will be out in 2020.
But it is the summer song of 2018.
Pono AM, if you know that band, they've coined Reed Steve as summer song of 2018, which it's 2018, right?
Yeah,
now?
That's right.
Okay,
man, yeah.
Okay. So
we're in it, baby.
We're in it, but the summer song has not been released yet. But, you know, you'll get it. You'll look back on this, you'll listen to it, and you'll go, that was the summer song of 2018.
Yeah, moment.
You'd be like, I remember 2018. I remember that time I went to the Cardinals game with my dad.
Yeah.
And I should have been blasting Weed Steve on the way to the game and not whatever shitty song.
Not Ball with the Ball.
Not Ball with the Ball.
For the 10th time today.
Yeah, you're going to take that shot at tequila, or are you just going to look at it?
I regret getting it. But
Come on, bub. You can do it. Neil, live on air,
yeah,
shot of tequila.
We did shots of Jameson earlier.
Oh, God. Hey, you feeling all right this morning?
Yeah.
God,
well,
what a night.
I'll tell you this much, this dude did not feel good this morning.
Oh, yeah? Well, I wasn't drinking, so I'll feel up.
For the record, half this band and Shane had a long night last night.
That was a good time, though.
That was a great time. But yeah, new record has no name, and it's, like I said, it's about 15 songs. We're kind of tossing around the idea of cutting or adding and what we should do. So it's getting there, but we're excited about it for sure. It's definitely a little bit of a different take, but if you're a big fan of one tune on the record, you're going to find that tune, you know, a similar tune on the new record. We're just kind of playing around a lot and seeing what we can do with the sound and the lineup we have. So.
Yeah, man. We'll keep an eye out for all things Backwash. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. You can, again, purchase some tunes at Bandcamp and iTunes and all.
Have them for free, baby. They're for free. Just take them. Take them from us. Blast them in your car.
Yeah.
Bootleg it.
As Josh Frederick from Pono AM would say, blast that shit while you're on your way to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And, again, grab tickets to see them as the Strokes at this year's An Undercover Weekend, Saturday, August 25th. Del Mar Hall, which is a really cool room over there. I like it a lot.
So. I'm excited to play there.
Yeah, be a good time. That's a. I like to, you know, all these. I like to put your picture up online and have the fans and friends participate. And we actually got a couple of questions for you guys.
Dan Mayer has about five in one paragraph. The first is, why isn't there a person making summertime snacks like funnel cakes, handing out popsicles, maybe a nice fruit tray?
That's got a damn good point.
Honestly,
good point.
I mean, it's a great question. But honestly,
I mean, Dan would be he would volunteer. Yeah, he was the guy who cooked garlic bread for Boys Club. I think
it's time to get over the garlic bread, Dan, and volunteer with
us. Let's move on from garlic bread and go on to hot dogs and popsicles. Yeah. Come on.
He's saying fanny pack. What would I keep in it if I had one? Chapstick, more chapstick. What do I got? One of those stems you use to blow up inflatable shit with. No, I'm not really big into blowing up inflatable things. Chapstick.
I don't know.
Chapstick is great. Yeah. I guess it would be useful, but I'd probably forget it. I would keep in my fanny pack.
Other than a weed and a hitter.
Weed and a hitter. Maybe like some loose change. You know, what's really useful to me to carry around is guitar picks. That's a serious answer. There you go. Tell us, and Matt, why so cool? It's a hot one for all of us backwashers out there, but you remain so cool. Why?
How do I answer that? I guess, you know, it's a hot climate out here. You just gotta water yourself down every once in a while. Gotta jump in the Mississippi and keep it cool. I don't really know how to answer that question.
Was that a Rob Thomas reference?
Yeah, you're right.
It's a hot one.
I might have just referenced that. Rob Thomas there.
Someone in the city.
You know.
Okay, and he has one last question. What kind of grease? He says we all need to know what kind of grease. Is it coming out of the white ride in this pick? Is it car grease? Is it bacon grease?
I'm confused as to what this question is referring to.
Because we keep it greasy, you know?
Oh,
it's sort of a constant
spicy, greasy,
consistency.
Soggy,
yeah, soggy, yeah. Silky.
We have a new song on the record called, for the record, soggy, for just so we understand, greasy, soggy, silky, silky, greasy, spicy.
Greasy.
And that's what he's referring to. What kind of grease?
But I think also, like, grease has been around for a while.
Yeah.
I think you're just around Gibbons.
Does lube
and grease
count as grease?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm picturing some sort of
like dark stuff.
Yeah, like you.
Lube's normally like clear.
Yes. And water-based, I believe.
You know, they have vegan lube. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I found that out. Really.
That's all
I
use.
In a sex shop. Don't tell my mom.
Grease, bacon grease. I'm just going to say that around the fan. Yeah. Why not?
I'll tell you right now, my mom won't listen to this. So.
It'll yield the most grease is the bacon. So that's the answer to that.
She's definitely turned off.
Moving on to that.
Yeah.
My mom has turned off the podcast at this point.
Do you want to ask us Tom Blood's question?
Oh, yeah. How soggy is it really?
Give it to Shane. I'm giving it to Shane.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sure. Tom Blood writes in, how soggy is it really? How soggy does it really get?
As soggy as you can imagine. I mean, if you're really... I mean, we are the sog king, so we'll go ahead and take this one at random.
No, I...
Gotta agree with me there. I mean, we invent. Can we just really quickly get through this? We're gonna put this on the pod,
quickly.
Shane, so it's in writing.
Quickly.
Soggy and the concept of being soggy and what we have come up with, which is our thing that has gone nationwide. It's a banger thing now.
Viral.
You know, it's viral. It's own thing. You know, it's gotten out of our grasp, and it is what it is. We'll let it go. But I'll tell you this much: the reason it happened was that I sent a text message to the band one time and I wrote, oh, it looks like it's gonna, and I think I wrote like Suck or something about like a show we were gonna play or something like that, or like it's, or like I wrote the word soft or whatever, and it auto corrected to soggy. But when I sent them, I just sent the message, it looks like it's gonna suck, and it looked like it's gonna be soggy. And when I sent that, all of a sudden it was just like, I reacted the same. When it was auto corrected, I was like, yep, that's the right message. That's what's supposed to be said. And we all died about it. And we were laughing about it. And it became this whole thing where it was like, it became a lifestyle almost, where we were just like, yep, we're the Soggy Boys now. It's our thing.
Yeah.
So that's the soggy thing, but is how soggy is it going to get? We invented soggy.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk about, people always are in St. Louis saying, oh, it's getting soggy out there. It's this, that. We basically, if the word wasn't invented,
I don't think we answered the question.
Does it matter?
I think we did, though. I mean,
how soggy does it get? It gets soggy.
How soggy does it really get?
Well,
I think it's, the answer is, it's open to interpretation. Sure. It's as soggy as you want it to be.
Sure. Yeah. Phil Russo writes in asking about the upcoming show.
I tagged the Strokes.
Who then wrote after that? If you, Shane, you left this part out, but yeah. The Strokes wrote, "We're so honored. We can't wait. We can't wait to hear the recordings of the show." So if you know, but do we give that away? Is the question.
Did you pay the licensing fee?
What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you still listening? Okay, then we'll tell you what songs we're going to play.
Last Night, Rutilia. I don't remember the name.
Hard to explain.
Songs.
We're going to play...
Someday.
We're going to play... You Only Live Once. We're going to do... We might do... what's the one? Damn it. Take It or Leave It. We might play that.
Sure.
We've kind of figured it out. I think we have 7 of the 8 songs chosen.
Yeah.
So you're going to get... Don't worry. You're going to get all the bangers. All the bangers
last
are
night,
coming.
Someday, Hard to Explain, Under Cover of Darkness. I think we forgot that.
Under Cover of Darkness, I'm trying to push off for the record. I'm trying to push us not playing that.
Yeah,
part,
really?
But
that was no good?
It's a good song. I would like to, personally, if we can get on the pod about this, I would like to play This Is It.
This Is It.
Over playing Under Cover of Darkness. Or, now that we have... So, for the record for this show, we're going to have a... bass player cover Brandon's bass part so he can just sing, so we can kind of do a little more authentic thing. So Tom Blood's one.
Sorry, I'm.
You guys want to put dominoes that in here?
Ignore that.
Yeah.
They're not paying for this shit here.
Yeah,
proud sponsor.
But we talked about this, and Tom Blood agreed. Our buddy agreed to play bass for it, but he also said, I only agree on one circumstance, and that's we played this one song that's currently not on the set list.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to spoil.
I see.
But. Most of it is. I mean, if, you know, we're gonna do what you want. We're gonna play all the tunes that you want to hear.
Give them the hits.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, very cool, guys. I think that's all of them. All
right.
My Aunt Pat said you guys look like a bunch of parrot heads. Is that?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this much. We don't play Jimmy Buffett style music, but you know what? Jimmy Buffett wrote the tune, wrote the book on chilling out and hanging by the beach and drinking margaritas.
That's cool with us.
And I'm down with that. So.
And he had a pencil thin mustache, though, you know.
Don't we all?
All right.
Thanks for having
us,
Shane.
Guys. Yeah, I guess that's it, guys.
We're done?
Thanks for having us, Shane.
All right, cool. Thanks, Shane.
Quick 30, buddy. We're a punk band. We're
top notch. I got to go smoke some weed. So. All
right, we're going to go smoke some weed.
Weed Steve out. Thanks, guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.